Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of United Breweries Limited, hosted by Investec Capital Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harit Kapoor from Investec Capital Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, I would like to welcome you all to this call and a special welcome to the team at United Breweries for a Q2 FY23 earnings call. From the management team today, we have Mr. Radovan Sikorsky, Director and CFO at United Breweries, and Mr. Sunil Kunacha from Finance and Investor Relations. I'll now hand over to Radovan for opening comments, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Radovan.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone on the call. Thank you for joining. I'm here together with Mr. Kunacha, who will, together with him, I will be answering some of the questions later on. Just taking you through the quarter two a little bit. In terms of volume growth, we had 23% in the quarter this prior year, you know, primarily driven by Rajasthan, West Bengal and Telangana. That's, you know, really good, strong volume performance. The premium segment grew also ahead of the total portfolio, growing 48%. You know, the total portfolio was around 23%, so a nice growth in the premium segment. EBIT for the quarter was up 58%, driven by volumes, price increase, but softened a bit by negative state mix. Inflationary pressure on cost of sales continues to impact gross margins, as you can see from the financials, contributing to a decline of about 508 basis points to the 46.7, as we had in the financials. Strong revenue growth combined with this cost control, though, you know, drove EBIT margins growth by about 277 basis points. You know, on the next page of the summary table with this quarterly results, you can see that net sales are up like 18%, EBIT up 58%, you know, and a margin of 10.8%. On the regional volume growth, we have seen, you know, strong recovery of volume, as I mentioned, the 23%, over the COVID-affected prior year across, you know, all markets. You know, when you look at the year-to-date results, 67% growth versus prior year across all markets. That is a nice healthy growth. If we look at now, you know, particular regions, the North posted 15%. In Rajasthan, Haryana, Uttar Pradesh was also up. The West posted 22% growth driven by, you know, higher volumes in Maharashtra state. I still have to get used to, you know, saying some of these states, but so bear with me. Also in Goa, Madhya Pradesh and Kilbasa. The East recorded 52% growth driven by higher volumes, in West Bengal, you know, and in the South, we posted 21% growth driven by high volumes in Telangana, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu and Kerala as well. You know, turning to the net sales, this was up 18% in the quarter, driven by the 23% volume growth, as I mentioned, and pricing was up 4%. The negative state mix was around 9%, you know, with differential volume growth across the states and with different levels of revenue. There is an improvement over previous quarter. If we look at, you know, the net sales for year-to-date results, you know, that's really healthy, as you can see, with a 67%, you know, volume growth Pricing is also quite strong at 6% on the year-to-date data, with negative state mix of around 11%. And as I mentioned before, you know, that's the differential volume growth across the states. You know, if you look at the EBIT breakdown on the next slide, you have the presentation with you. The gross profit growth was driven by the volume and price increases. However, impacted by commodity prices, right? So that's why you can see the deterioration in our gross profit margins. But, you know, the strong revenue growth, you know, drove fixed cost leverage and, you know, full good control over our cost base resulted in healthy margins of 9.7% year to date. If we look at, going forward, we continue to be positive about the category penetration, you know, while at the same time driving share in our premium portfolio. I think that is key for us. Inflation pressure on cost of goods sold, you know, will most likely continue in the foreseeable future. And, you know, bearing on that, we will pursue further price increases, you know, and in combination with cost measures to mitigate any of these impacts. We have good CapEx plans in place for our breweries, you know, to meet expected volume growth going into 2023 as well. You know, we remain optimistic on the long-term growth of the industry. Let's be clear on that one. You know, and the evolving consumer trends, you know, will drive premiumization. So we really still believe in that strongly. So that's a little bit my opening remarks. I think we can then pass to the Q&A, and we'll try and answer all your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, given that this call is scheduled for only 45 minutes, I would request all the participants to limit their questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. First question is, one of your competitors has recently acquired Beer Cafe. Does this in any way limit your presence or sales in that retail chain? And globally, is this common that a brand acquires a retail chain also? And would you also have some thoughts on this longer term?
Yeah. You're talking about the Beer acquisition of Beer Cafe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Beer Cafe is almost like a restaurant business. I mean, what they do is it's like a brew pub. And the brew pub is a new concept. As you know, it's less than a decade old, and it is a very small niche segment. And as such, it may complement Beera business, but for our business, we are currently not looking at that space, because a brew pub business is a very different business. And considering that Beera has limited clout in road to market, I think they are trying to use this as a road to market.
And your presence and sales in Beer Cafe, does it get impacted in any way going ahead?
We are not present in Beer Cafe, we can say.
Oh, sure. Last question is on the gross margin pressure, which is quite common for every company. So essentially, when do you see good recovery here in terms of barley and packaging material? We are seeing globally also the Ukraine crisis, at least from a raw material availability perspective, things are now resolving. And you also spoke on the price side. So when do you see good recovery in margins? Will it be more FY24? So H2 will remain under reasonable pressure in terms of margins.
So if I understood you correctly, I'm sorry, I'm not hearing very well through the sound. But if I understood your question correctly, you're asking about the commodity prices, for example, like barley, and how do we see that going forward? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you know, true, as you can see in our margins, there is pressure on our commodities, and I think that's a global phenomenon. I mean, you guys all know about that. We still see some of that continuing going forward. Yes, there seems to be some softening on some of these components going forward, but I think it's still early to tell for us on that one, you know. So I still think the pressures on margins will remain in the shorter term. And you know, it's a little bit our ability to take pricing and also manage our costs to try and mitigate for any of that.
Sure, thanks. That's all for my time. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Kumar Doshi from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. Could you provide an update on, some early indicators or response to Heineken Silver launch? How does it compare versus, your earlier launches of Amstel and Heineken Original? Any numbers, any color, would be helpful.
So it's very early days, really, because we just launched recently, but we had very good feedback and also responses through social media in terms of the big launch we did in Bangalore a few days back. In terms of distribution in outlets, it's on track. We have selected certain outlets and ranges where we want Heineken Silver to be. That seems to be going very well. But it's a little bit too early to say. You know, the rate of sale seems to be good as well, and repeat buy, but it's still, quite small. So I think to give you a bit more comprehensive feedback, I think we need a few more months in the market for silver.
Understand. Do you have plans to launch the product in other states sometime later this year, or going to be when do you intend to take it to other key states?
We are looking at that as well, and we will be doing that. We're looking at how well it's now performing, but definitely there are plans to roll that out to different states as well, and that's still being discussed where and when we will do that.
Understood. Now, you called out for the first time that premium portfolio grew about 48% YOY volumes, but I understand that last year this quarter was impacted, on-trade would have been low. So how does this, how does premium volumes in the current quarter compare versus September 2019?
Sunacha, can you answer that one? I don't know that far back in 2019.
From pre-COVID days to now, the premium salience has gone up. It's gone up from 6% to about 8%.
Understood. That's helpful. And final one, your notes to accounts indicate that, there is no impact in Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh because of the changes that you introduced. And I guess, it's almost more than 3-4 months now. So should we assume that, this is a steady state now and that shouldn't, there won't be any disruption in those markets or any adverse impact on volumes? Or are we still cautious?
I think it's a bit early still to call that there will not be any impact. So far, there hasn't really been an impact. So we are, you know, we are monitoring that carefully. Whenever you do a sort of route to market change, you know, it takes a while to sort of shake out what, you know, what will happen. But so far it seems okay in terms of, you know, invoicing and the volumes. But we remain, you know, we keep on watching that market as we progress.
That's helpful. Thank you so much. I'll go back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, what is the volume growth on September 19 base? And second, did we get any price increases between quarter one and quarter two in any of the states? And if you could call out for the blended price increase.
Okay, I heard the first part of the question, so I'll answer that one, and then maybe you can just repeat it because of the bad audio. And you wanted to ask about how we are comparing volumes with 19, is that correct, yes?
Yeah, that's the first question, yeah.
So if we look at volumes versus 19, in the quarter, we were slightly down, you know, around 4% versus 19. But it's, you know, it's quite a lot impacted by, you know, Andhra Pradesh in terms of, you know, this policy change that happened there, you know, about a year ago or so, year and a half. So it's impacted by that. And, you know, if you look at the other states, there's also good growth versus 2019. But, you know, still on a year-to-date number, we've grown 3% versus 2019. And that's where we are very positive about the category. You know, that's how quickly it's actually recovered, and we are back to growth versus a normalized 2019. So that is quite good news for us.
My second question was that, did we get any price increase between the quarter one and quarter two?
So you can see that, you know, the pricing versus quarter one has gone to like 6%. So the pricing are going through. We have looked at taking some pricing also in Punjab. So there we have taken, and that's basically the only state as well that we've taken in between the two quarters. But of course the pricing that we took in quarter one are now flowing through into quarter two, right? Because it was taken at different times within those quarters. So that's why we see the increase as well.
So what is the incremental price increase that we have got in quarter two in Punjab? Or let's say at the blended company level?
Sorry, I didn't hear that. Punasha, can you take that one? I didn't hear the question.
Hello?
It's about 3%.
3%?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Can you outline what will be your market share in current
quarter?
Sorry
to interrupt. Mr. Himanshu, we are not able to hear you. Can you please switch to your handset?
Sure. Hello. Is it better?
Please proceed.
Yeah. So can you help me? What would be your market share during the quarter? And last quarter also? Hello?
Our total market share?
Yeah, total market share.
Yeah, the market share is around 51% plus.
Okay, and what would it be, sir, in last quarter?
Similar, we don't give the exact number because it's basically done on approximation based on data available. And after the CCI, we don't track market share specifically in many states, other than when it is available in the government corporate websites.
Okay.
And secondly, the other expenses has gone down on a YOY basis by 3%, and this is despite a 23% volume growth on a YOY basis. And there has also been inflationary pressure on freight, etc. So what is driving this decline in other expenses during the quarter?
Yeah. As you know that there have been a lot of initiatives with respect to costs, considering that our margins are squeezed because of the inflationary pressures. So the level we are at which is what will stand going forward. You can't see anything going better, but the level at which we are in would be what we would see going forward.
So there is no one-offs or anything in this particular line item during this quarter?
No one-offs.
Okay, and can you just tell us, sir, what would be A&P spend as a percentage of revenue during the quarter?
It remains constant as a percentage of top line as it was in the last 4 or 5 quarters.
Okay. So what are the initiatives which are driving such significant decline? If you can just highlight few of them.
Decline in cost?
Yeah, decline in cost in other expenses line item.
Yeah, like I said, most of our administrative costs is being relooked at, and this is helped us reach a new level which would sustain in that particular level going forward.
Sure, no issues. Thanks. That's it from my side, and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Krishnan from Motilal Oswal Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Punach. My question is on, I again see that West Bengal and Haryana are contributing handsomely. Now, in the states like UP, West Bengal and Haryana, because of the differential taxation between beer and spirit, are you also seeing a pickup in the erstwhile non-seasonal consumption of beer as well because beer is relatively cheaper than spirits in these states?
Yeah, I mean, we are better off in West Bengal than we are in the past because the gap between the pricing of spirits and beer vis-a-vis alcohol content has now narrowed down, so we are looking at better times now. But still, spirits are taxed. If you compare alcohol volume by volume, taxed far lower than what beer is. So we can't say that we are fully out of the woods, but we are better off than what we were.
Okay, that's useful. My question was more, is the seasonality of beer consumption also reducing a bit compared to the past in these days?
Seasonality, yes. Like I said, the pricing has put us in a better situation, so the seasonality effect has come down. But it will still be there. That's what I'm trying to reiterate, because still the spirits are taxed at a lower rate when you compare it by alcohol volume.
Okay, that's clear. My second question is on, you indicated that about the demand is great and also about CapEx plans. Can you just quantify that number for FY23 and FY24, your CapEx plan?
Yeah, for the, now, considering we are an operating company of Heineken, our CapEx plans are done from Jan to December. For the coming Jan to December, the CapEx plan is looking at somewhere in the region of 350 crore.
Okay. Yeah, that's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Litika Chopra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is a little more medium term rather than, welcome to United Brewery. I wanted to just check with you, is there going to be disproportionate focus to drive the premium part of the portfolio now, which is also witnessing more competition? And thus in that process, you would kind of put lesser focus on the mass beer segment And a related question is, in that context, how should one think about profitability? You know, UBBL has generated almost, 16-17% operating margins in the past. We are now currently hovering between 12-13%. There is a lot of gross margin pressures, but assuming we go back to normalized levels of gross margins, would A&P spends need to increase disproportionately to drive the premium mix, and probably we need to settle with, a more like, mid-teens kind of margins? Or do you think the business over the next 3-4 years has the potential to go back to those high-teens margins? Any initial thoughts on the way Heineken is approaching the India business now?
Okay, so I'll take that one. Thanks for the question. So, in terms of premium, we can see that there is appetite for premium products also in India. And we want to be, strong in that segment as a leader also in beer here in India. So disproportionate growth, well, yes, we for sure we would like to achieve that. Lose focus on our mainstream? Definitely not. I mean, Kingfisher remains the bread and butter of our company and is an extremely important brand for us. So the focus remains. Actually, when we look going forward, we will continue doing strong activities around the Kingfisher brand. So that needs to be clear. And as we also do extensions on Kingfisher, like Kingfisher Ultra, so it's a great brand. In terms of gross profit margins and the impact of the grand premium vis-a-vis the mainstream, so we are looking at driving more margin via premium, but currently premium is still at quite a small scale, so the pricing is there. But because of the smaller scale, we need to work through that in terms of that cost of sales base for the premium to improve those margins. But that will come with scale, no doubt about it, and it will help our gross margins. Longer term on the gross margins, of course it is our plan to get back to previous levels, and we believe we can get there. It's just that, as we know, currently the inflationary pressure across the globe are such that, we are, a bit under pressure with gross margins. And, taking prices in India, we try and do what we can state by state, and we will continue. But sometimes it's a little bit more difficult in certain states to take pricing. And therefore, there's a bit of a, there can be a bit of a delay in catching up on some of those growth, on some of that cost and sales growth.
Sure, I know this is helpful. And also, non-gross margin, the other cost, whether it's A&P or whether it's the fixed cost, and Mr. Punacha did refer to some of the cost saving that initiatives. There's a lot of extra costs that you can take away from the system. Still, in your view, can it be run even more efficiently? How do you think about that?
Definitely we can still do more, in terms of that. I think UBL has done, a good job to date on driving costs down. And as the previous, comments from Pernatia shows, the costs have been coming down. There definitely is more opportunities, particularly still in productivity at the breweries, and also bottle returns and these type of things that, we can drive costs down with. So, as I step into this role, and I've only been there for, like 4 or 5 weeks, I will be reviewing that as well. But I'm sure, when I compare it to other opcos I've been, there's opportunities for more.
Sure. And the last question for me is that, given your experience in different markets with Heineken, when you look at the per capita consumption levels, demographic profile, the constraints that you see on from a regulation standpoint, what is the realistic target for premium share in the overall revenue mix in your view? in your portfolio? Maybe, you know, 5 years down the line, can it be, you know, 20%, you know, 30%? What could be that realistic share?
Well, yeah, in terms of the per capita consumption, obviously we see a lot of opportunity there as well. And that's why we are in the market and we want to make sure that the category grows, in a good manner. In terms of premium share, you are right. You know, quoting 20%, 25% would be something to aim for in terms of, you know, premiumization in the category. So, you know, we can see the trend is there. Like I mentioned, you know, 48% growth in the quarter is excellent. So I think, you know, to get to those sort of 20% mark is definitely achievable.
Great. Thank you so much, and wish you the best in the new roles.
Thank you, and I hope to meet you soon.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Rangnekar from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just one clarification on the volume growth versus pre-COVID. So when you had called out 8% growth over pre-COVID in 1Q, was AP impact in the base then as well? And excluding AP, what would be the growth that is able to possible to call that out, please?
Sorry, I didn't hear that properly. Mukasha, can you try?
Yeah. I will give you a vis-a-vis 2019, Andhra Pradesh used to be 6% of our volume salience. With the drop seen because of the change in policies there, it is down to 3% of our volume salience.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And just one more question. Usually we complete the buying of barley for the year in advance. Is that now done till the next peak season? And how much higher is the purchase price for this year versus last year?
If I understood correctly, you're asking about how secure is our barley till the end of the year or for this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Are we done with the barley buying for the year, and how much higher is the purchase price?
Yeah, so yes, we are secured, of course, for 2022, and we're already looking into 2023 to secure us. Obviously, the barley crop will come through only around March, April next year. Prices have gone up. I mean, you heard my predecessors talking about it, of the price increases that they were there. There's been a slight dip, you know, recently on markets, but the pressure still remains, and the prices are definitely higher than they used to be in previous years. You know, we have secured quite a lot, but there is still opportunity if prices do come down that we can pick up, you know, better pricing, you know, at the back end and going into the next year. But, you know, it's still difficult to tell with these, you know, in these volatile times what's going to happen. Kunasha, anything else to add on that?
I think you're covered.
Okay, thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Taurani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for reading my question. My question is around the Heineken Silver launch which was there. Now, don't you think there could be some kind of cannibalization in the economical premium category because Kingfisher also is around the same price point? Your thoughts on that, please?
Yeah, I mean, it is, I guess you're talking against price points versus ultra. So, you know, the way we approach it, you know, it's also, you know, different consumers choose different brands. You know, silver is also, you know, quite a bit marked for the younger sort of consumer, sort of the 25-30 category, or, you know, 20-30 category. So I think we feel that there is a place for both brands in the market, particularly with the fact of, you know, how quickly premium is growing. So the opportunity exists for both brands to work together, you know, in that growing market. So, yeah, I'm optimistic for both.
Right, so you don't believe growth for Heineken Silver will come at the cost of loss for Kingfisher Ultra or something of that sort? Because is this a way to, you know, kind of, as you said, I mean, you know, very articulate, you told in a detailed manner that, you know, you want to focus on both the brands, Kingfisher as well as Heineken. But these kind of strategies, can we see this further as well, wherein Heineken is kind of made to stand with Kingfisher in a particular range, and that actually leads to loss of Kingfisher's market share in the future, unintentionally?
I did not hear that properly, unfortunately. My question
basically was that, can we see this coming more often in the future as well, wherein you have got, you know, brands of Heineken standing on par with Kingfisher's brands on the, you know, the premium space, which is there, whether the economical premium or the slightly higher premium range, and that could lead to unintentional loss of market share for Kingfisher?
Well, you know, I mean, in terms of absolute percentage share, potentially, yes, because the premium is growing, but Kingfisher is also playing with its, you know, ultra brands in the premium segment. The thing is, we are optimistic about the total category growth, right? That is the big opportunity for beer. And Kingfisher as a mainstream brand has a big role to play in there. So I would not be too much concerned about the fact that there is a bit of decline on the back of a growing premium segment. So if you look at total category, there would be. But you know, when we dissect categories, we then look at our market share growth within those categories. So we look at our market share within mainstream, and we look at our market share within premium. And that is important for us as well, that within mainstream, Kingfisher will not be losing. And within premium, we are gaining share and the category is growing.
Next. Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Punia from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So I just wanted to understand or hear your thoughts on the margin profile, operating margin profile of the company for the next 2-3 years, assuming that the gross margins revert back to the 18-19 levels and the kind of savings that you are doing currently are sustainable. Would you rather see a better margin profile or would you put all those back into growing the premium portfolio or the other new launches that you do?
So, I mean, of course we want to grow our operating profit margins going forward. You know, and I'm not going to really comment on what we believe the margins will be in 2-3 years' time. It's a little bit difficult. I mean, we do internally forecast that based on what we know. In terms of, you know, like I mentioned, in terms of the gross profit margins, you know, you see the decline. We are aware of that, and we're working with our teams in terms of, you know, procuring at the right prices, getting the best prices, securing, you know, supply, and also having quality supply. It's difficult to say at the moment how long this will be, how long it will sustain, but like I said, there could be some shoots of hope, you know, going into 2023, but at the moment it's still anyone's guess in terms of that. Now, again, on the premium versus mainstream, premium should bring in the medium to longer term better margins, right, because of the price points. But we need to work also on the cost part of that, in terms of the cost of sales part, get the scale so that, you know, so then that comes. We just need to be a little bit patient on that one. But as premium grows, as our scale grows, it can just be very good for our margins going forward.
Okay, sure. Secondly, any updates for the current quarter in terms of Delhi, how's the change in policy or changes in policy impacting the overall environment in Delhi? How is that panning out in 3Q?
Punaksha, maybe you can give a little bit of an update on those changes in Delhi.
In Delhi, effective August 2022, the state government has reverted back to the policy they had prior to November 21. The previous policy was every manufacturer had to have their own depot within the state of Delhi to bring in the beer and spirit manufactured outside Delhi. So there's no product necessary within Delhi, and then distribute it. But in the interim, the manufacturer was allowed to have one super distributor to do the job. But now since the announcement that the state government has made that they will revert back to the old policy with the open statement that this is only temporary and they will review what needs to be done going forward. With that being the case, with the government making such statements, everything is fluid, people don't want to invest. So the market is very volatile. We really can't do any kind of position in this kind of a scenario.
Understood. Thanks, team, and happy Diwali to the team.
Okay. Happy Diwali to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this would be the last question for today, which is from the line of Jay Kumar Doshi from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. See, when I look at the volumes in the 6 months of that, first 6 months of this financial year, it is marginally higher than the same period of 2019. And you've called out, that you've gained market share. So it implies that the overall beer industry volumes have barely grown over, versus pre-pandemic levels in this 6 month period. So when we look across our other categories, we've seen pent-up demand and much higher growth rates. So why do you think, this category has not seen any pent-up demand at all? And why is it lagging most other consumption categories? Wherein, prior to pandemic, this category was growing faster than, at least in volume terms, than a few other consumption categories. So any market study or research, wrong research that you may have done that explains this disconnect?
Right, so like Punaksha mentioned, yes, in terms of market, we're broadly flat, right, year to date. So the market, we see growing at around 3% in total industry. I think I cannot compare to others because I don't know the facts, but I think, looking at our industry, we also just need to bear in mind the impacts that policy changes have on the market, correct? So, like I think Punaksha mentioned earlier, a market like Andhra Pradesh, which was big volumes for us in the past, due to the policy change, there's been a significant decline in the volumes, and I think it's in the region of 70%. So you can see then, that sort of negates within the categories what is happening. So if you look at the other states, if you look at growth rates like in Uttar Pradesh or 48%, Telangana, which is growing at, in the region of, I think it was around 15%, and some of the others as well, we see a lot of opportunity and growth in the category. The thing is you need to just, you know, take into account some of these policy changes and the impact that they have on particular states. So we are very bullish still about the beer category going forward.
And what is the base case growth that you think the category growth should be? Now that these are normalized, should be like mid-single digit, high single digit, or is the double digit is also possible? Base case assumption that you work with.
Sorry, really, I didn't catch that question in terms of the audio.
Okay.
Roshi, I would request you to use your handset, please.
Sure. What is the base case assumption for the category growth, is appropriate in your view? What should be the normalized category, even category growth in India going forward? Should it be 5%, 7%, or more closer to 10% kind of volume growth?
If I understand correctly, what do we believe how the category will grow in the coming years? Is that the question?
That is correct. That is correct. Thank you.
So, again, that is just assumptions, but we believe that, the growth rate of, high single digits or mid single digits is definitely a possibility and hopefully higher. Of course, inflation does play a bit of a role on that, but still, like I said, the category is going to grow, I am sure, and we think that, that sort of rate of, strong single digits we can see going forward.
Thank you so much. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harit Kapoor for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, would like to thank the management of United Breweries for taking our time for this call, as well as we'd like to thank all the participants who joined in into this call. I'd now like to hand over to Radhavan for his closing comment. So over to you, Radhavan.
Yes, thank you. And hopefully, next time when we have this call, I will be in Bangalore and I will have a better audio connection because it has been difficult, calling from London through a mobile phone. And hopefully I can catch up with a lot of you. So just on closing, like I said, yes, there is pressure on margins, but we as a business, we will manage that, yes, going forward in terms of, what we can do with pricing, costs, etc. And, and with our brands. We have strong brands in place, so we have, the ability to play and grow the category going forward. And on that, we remain optimistic that the category will continue to grow. There will be premiumization, and that can, in the medium, longer term, just be good for our margins going forward. So, yes, that would be my closing remarks. And thank you, everyone, for joining us and hope to see you soon in India.
Thank you. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.